Representative Jamie Raskin is with us next. He was the lead manager in former President Trump's second impeachment trial and went on to serve on the January 6th committee. Representative Raskin, welcome back.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
Your colleague Adam Schiff was on the program a few weeks ago and acknowledged that a criminal referral of conduct by the president, the former president, is both a legal question and a political one. Of course, you want to do what's right for the country. You might hold back if you thought it was not right for the country. So what makes potentially prosecuting a former president the right thing for the country?
Well, the only question that should matter is whether or not he engaged in criminal conduct. And so it's the facts of the matter and what the law says. And that's what our focus was yesterday. He clearly satisfies all the elements for obstructing an official proceeding. That was the whole purpose of his scheme. And he succeeded in interrupting it for 4 hours. The only time that's ever happened in American history. He was engaged in a conspiracy to defraud the United States. Very nearly succeeded in doing it, but he clearly was attempting to overthrow our democratic election and substitute his counterfeit electors, his whole fake scheme. There was a conspiracy to make false statements, and he acted to incite, assist, and give aid and comfort to an insurrection. So in a society where all of us are treated equally under the law, the fact that he's a former president would make no more difference than the fact that he is a former businessman or TV star.
But you understand, of course, the, I guess you could call it the Gerald Ford with Richard Nixon argument, the argument that it would be bad for the country to have a former president literally at the defendant's table in a public courtroom on trial. Is it wise, do you think, that it would be wise ultimately for the former president to be at the defendant's table in a courtroom on trial?
Well, you know, there are some countries that adopt provisions in constitutions saying that former presidents cannot be charged with crimes. I think Chile had that. It was something that Pinochet insisted upon. But that's not the way our democracy operates. All of us have to be equal under the law, and the Department of Justice has to regard it in that way. I mean, either that's a real proposition or that's a fake one, and there's enough fake stuff going on in the country. I mean, more than 900 people have been prosecuted for crimes like assaulting federal officers, destroying federal property, seditious conspiracy, attempt to overthrow or put down the government. Why should the foot soldiers be going to jail and not the ringleaders and the masterminds of this scheme to defeat American democracy? Look, if Donald Trump had succeeded, he'd be bragging about it, how he was the one who came up with the whole plan. It's very clear to those of us who've given 2 years of our lives to studying this that none of it would have happened without the will of Donald Trump.
Let me ask about something else that you did yesterday. You referred four of your fellow lawmakers, Republican lawmakers, to the Ethics Committee for failing to honor subpoenas. One of them is Kevin McCarthy, the presumptive House Speaker. Another is Andy Biggs, who has been challenging him as House Speaker. And in any case, it would seem, unless they truly screw it up, that Republicans are about to take over the House narrowly. Can't they just make your report go away in the Ethics Committee?
Well, as a terrible precedent for the future, they could make it go away. They could just sit on it. Remember, the Ethics Committee is split between Democrats and Republicans, and
right,
they're facing a pretty profound question, which is, if members of Congress get subpoenaed to testify about their knowledge of a criminal offense, and this one, an attack on the Constitution itself, can they just blow off the subpoena? You know, we're not able to take them to court, likely, because of the speech or debate clause, which says that we can't hold people to account who are members of Congress outside of Congress. We have to hold them to account within the channels of Congress. And so all we really could do is refer them to the Ethics Committee. And I, you know, I trust and hope that the members of the Ethics Committee on a bipartisan basis will consider this very serious problem.
And is part of the purpose here, you want them to consider this problem. You want to challenge them to come over to your side and acknowledge that something needs to be done.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a special concern when, you know, there's an attempt to overthrow our election and essentially subdue our constitutional order and have someone seize the presidency who didn't win it. And if members of Congress have knowledge of that and may have been involved in it, but refuse to say anything about it, we're setting a precedent for future attacks on democracy itself. And that's really the burden of our committee, to make sure that we prevent coups, insurrections, electoral sabotage, and political violence in the future.
House Republicans, as you probably know, have spoken of somehow investigating the investigators once they take charge in January. Are you generally and you personally prepared for whatever comes next?
Well, the work of our committee is an open book. We want the whole country to see all of the transcripts, all of the interviews, everything that took place. So we're going to try to make it public as quickly as possible. Obviously, someone with a jaundiced eye could go in and try to look for something else, but we're used to that at this point. And we really do feel like we're standing up for democracy for future generations.
Do you think your report has altered public understanding of what has happened?
Well, I hope so. I think most of the public understands that Donald Trump's own attorney general said that his claims in the big lie are, quote, BS. I won't spell it out any further.
The FCC thanks you as well. Please proceed.
They understand that Donald Trump wanted to wave in all of the armed people that he was perfectly aware were in the crowd. They understand that he said, you go and fight like hell or you won't have a country anymore. They understand that he took no concern to try to protect us against the mob that he unleashed against us. So he didn't call the army. He didn't call the National Guard. He sat there in his little dining room watching this unfold like a perfect bystander or someone from another country or another planet. He showed no interest in trying to defend us. I think that story is indelibly imprinted in the public imagination.
Representative Raskin, it's always a pleasure talking with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
He was a member of the House January 6th committee, which is wrapping up its business before the end of this Congress at the end of this year.